Welcome back to another Almost Famous Minute, where we're discussing the 2000 Cameron Crowe film Almost Famous, 1 minute at a time. I'm Eric Nash from Feels Like Weezer.
And I'm Gary Roby from Harry Potter Minute.
It's great to have you back on a show of mine.
It's fun. You know, I haven't been doing any minute stuff in like a couple years now, so
yeah.
It's nice to be back in this space, I think.
But you're there in our group and stuff.
Totally,
you know, you haven't lost touch.
I still am in a lot of the groups on Facebook and stuff, so people can find me there. And you know, I still show up on podcasts from time to time, but
yeah,
haven't been as active in the movies by minute stuff. I'm excited for this.
Yeah, and like I said, you and Victoria were both on good old Watchmen Minute.
Yeah,
way back in the day for Travis and I, but. Now I'm doing this Almost Famous, and you're able to make it this time. Hopefully later on in the movie, Victoria could come on too.
Trying to wrangle her into watching the film with me, because I don't think she's seen it yet, and just schedules have been hard, especially like since no one can hang out in person. So,
But you have said you've told me that you have seen it, what, at least once or
a couple times, actually. You know.
But you were looking forward to kind of giving a fuller watch.
Yeah, I really enjoy this movie a lot. Yeah. So I'm happy to talk about it.
Very cool. So this is minute 72 this week, and it starts with William and Russell fighting over the phone, and ends with Elaine telling Russell about her son.
Yeah, I like Russell taking the phone.
Oh yeah,
and just the like bravado. That he has at the start, and it just watch it deflate as she talks to him. The, hey, listen to me, mister. Your charm doesn't work on me. And he just, like, stumbles after that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it actually truly starts with, you know, the shot on Elaine and just listening, because we have, through the telephone of that, of her, you know, us hearing the William and then Russell talking as well in the background, kind of. But eventually saying, you know, hey, mom, you know, he gets on the phone and says, hey, mom. But yeah, in the background, he says, tell her you're slave to the groove. And so I kind of thought about, I did Google search it, but my first initial note was slave might not be the best wording.
Probably not.
I don't know in today's age if that kind of thing would work, but I mean, it's not talking about literal.
Yeah.
That, cause you know, I mean, again, a little bit of the green room talk. We talked about Star Wars a couple times and we brought it up, but you know, there's that whole slave Leia kind of, I think, went away apparently.
Right. They call her Hutt Slayer now. Which I think is better, but
yeah,
still, he's a slave to the groove.
Yeah, and so then there's William saying, you know, all this no, Russell, no,
fighting,
and finally Russell gets truly gets a hold of the phone and up to his ear, and he's able to say, "Hey, mom, it's Russell Hammond. I play guitar in Stillwater." Which totally reminds me of, I mean, I've listened to a lot of the Beatles anthology stuff, which actually can, and right before, the year before the anthology stuff came out in the mid-90s, the BBC, Live at the BBC, came out as well. And I think both contain these little snippets of them appearing on radio or some such. Or maybe TV shows, whatever, but they're just audio, of course, of that. And it would go, hi, I'm John, I play the guitar. And, hi, I'm George, I play the guitar too. And, you know, they go through the four members of the band.
Yeah.
So this just really reminded me of that kind of thing. And I'm pretty sure I've seen other bands go through it. And even very most recently, I think it was, it was the last winter, even the winter before, my hometown almost made it band before the lead singer died, Brainiac. Back in the mid to late 90s, they were just about to make it, just about right, assigned to a major label and so forth. I know in the documentary I just saw a good year or two ago, and I look forward to watching that again soon. You know, I'm almost positive there's a similar type scene there from the 90s where the band members would do that too. So it's still happening then, and I think now that would be really weird. Right, and maybe they were kind of doing it as a spoof on, you know, having heard the Beatles do that recently at that point in the mid-90s.
Wanting to introduce, it's the introduction and the, like, here's what I do, like, right up top.
Yeah, right.
It's cute that he refers to William as the greatest rock journalist they've met. There's, like, a preciousness there. I really like William a lot. Being a young kid that wanted to, like, write for me growing up was very much, like, I feel a lot of, like, empathy for William being in maybe a little over his head in all this.
Yeah.
It's just...
Yeah, yeah, and giving and being lauded that way.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
is got to be a little embarrassing, but... But, you know, I mean, I think Lester Bangs had probably, you know, what the things that Lester Bangs had said probably kind of, you know, can temper that a bit. Yeah. You know.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he's just kind of trying to be nice to my mom. And
right. Also, there is the, like, they know he's a kid.
Well, you know, and
I mean, he's been lying about
the end
his
of this
age.
Minute. So that is this minute. It's not next minute. So I definitely want to
we'll hit
on it. Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll just go ahead and say it. I mean, you know, it's when his mom says he's a smart, good-hearted 15-year-old kid.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the way Russell looks over, I mean, I feel like, you know, he might have been thinking, oh, maybe he's 18.
Yeah,
you know, well, he just has a pretty protective mother. I mean, he still has a pretty protective mother, but
absolutely.
But considering he's 15. Actually, the only person maybe she's not protective enough.
Told his true age to so far was Penny, right?
Yeah, I think that's very likely. I think, you know, it's something that, you know, I think he probably did that at the time, and would still has moments and will have more moments, that's for sure, where he's very open to her, whereas with essentially anyone else, he would keep that kind of thing guarded and.
You know,
play
he,
off that he's a little
he
bit older.
And the band multiple times refer to each other as their enemies.
Oh yeah.
he
refers
very...
to himself as
the
enemy.
Yeah.
I don't think he ever says to them.
you're the enemy. I think. Oh no, he doesn't call him an enemy. But when he's opening up about like his past, he's telling him about what happened to his father and his sister giving him. Yeah. All of his music and being like, oh, you're the one guy I'm not supposed to tell this stuff to.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Huh.
I watched as much of this movie after my first recording today as I could. Because I wanted it, like, real fresh.
Yeah, sure.
so that's just in my mind. But, yeah, they both have, like, this sort of, like, contentiousness towards each other sometimes. Mm. But now Russell knows.
The other thing that's kind of happening, I think, about this point that we're talking about, this for the dialogue that we're hitting, is when these girls walk past. So there's these three girls that all kind of do this slow parade through the three of them. Mm-hmm. Russell's on the one side with the phone, and Penny and William are on the other side. And you know, they've been hanging out in the back, and I certainly pointed that out a little bit last minute, you know. I was like, I had never really taken enough. I certainly knew about the girls that would come through, and there was a group of people in the back.
Mm-hmm.
But it's only upon doing it minute by minute that, oh yeah, okay, there is definitely Larry Fellows, the bass player, you know, on the one side, on the left side, I think, at one point. But then definitely Ed, the drummer, on the right. And I don't know that I've actually been able to make out Jeff in the back, though. But at least those two and like another roadie or two, I think.
Yeah.
Here's Larry sitting down, kind of, and then another guy with definitely longer hair, but not Jeff, I don't think. One of the roadie guys.
Yeah.
But these girls are just hanging out there too, and they all just seem to be drinking some beers, you know, some little light pre-partying for what's to go on later, or I doubt it's after partying, but so these girls
just
walk through.
They're always partying.
Yeah, right. So these girls walk through, and they just, you know, it almost seems like the first one almost is the one the first and last, I think, are the ones that make most note of. The first one, there's something on her shirt. It seems like there's some writing on her shirt that, and it's underneath a vest too. This really frilly that floral vest pattern, but some kind of weird, like gold, really gold thick lettering.
Yeah, I can't make out what it says.
Yeah, that is the toughest thing for me to make out there. So hopefully, someone might be able to give us a little information on that if they are more aware and have done that. We have a little bit of. I have a little bit of an Instagram that seems like it is a little bit heavier on the younger women side of fans of the movie that have found the podcast, thankfully.
Amazing.
I've already had one or two, and very soon another one or two, I believe. And some guys too, I'm sure, could be there on Instagram too, But then the third one, though, that's definitely, her shirt is a Stillwater shirt on it, logo on the bottom part. But the top part that's a photo, so all the old back then, very popular, people that would do the screen printing for.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
For, this is not the first shirt that was a big thing earlier in the movie.
Yeah.
So this is a second shirt, or it's a homemade shirt that, she herself could be the screen printer. Maybe she has an older brother or something. Who knows? But yeah, so she's wearing this really cool Stillwater shirt. So at some point soon, I've been a little lax on it lately, but there haven't been that many lately shirts that kind of pop up that make a lot of sense for me to create on my TeePublic store.
There you go.
TeePublic.com/user/LuckyMustard. But is where everyone can find those shirts, and
that's awesome.
So that's because the photo, it's hard to figure out. I mean, I'm not even sure. Gosh, it sure looks like it's Russell on the right, and Ed on the left. But then between Jeff and Larry,
it's hard to tell.
Maybe Jeff is the second one from the left, but. So yeah, then looking, just kind of jotting those down, and then just looking at a whole bunch of different other photos, and maybe I could find it somewhere online.
That'd be cool. Actual
image that, or very close replication of the image, for me to have a basis to start with.
That's amazing. That's rad. I hope you're able to find it.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been pretty lucky so far with. The biggest one was definitely the Led Zeppelin. Their fourth album, sometimes referred to as Zoso, but it's got the symbols, the runic symbols for each of the four band members that were.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's on Vic Munoz's shirt, and definitely if you're interested in that shirt, go and try and buy it as the two options. But I can't do them both together. You can do it as the baseball tee. And therefore, only get it on the front. But if you choose not, if you'd rather not have the baseball tee, then definitely go for the double sided.
That's
which
cool.
Which mimics his shirt as well. And each way it mimics his shirt.
That sounds awesome. I'm into it.
So my next note really is, Russell saying, look, you got a great kid here. There's nothing to worry about. He's gotten so serious at that point.
Yeah.
It's, they're like the two hellos that he says and is not getting any feedback from. So he decides just to turn it around. Let's not be the party goofball band person, which, definitely comes back to... is what Elaine kind of gets into him. I think definitely more so in the next minute, a little bit this minute with the rich line. But
it just, he's like doubling down. Like, no, I'm not just saying this. Like he's actually a good kid. Like we're taking care of him.
Which does lend to maybe your idea of maybe he, I think you put forward maybe Russell does know he is that young.
Yeah. But, yeah.
Because why would you say that to about an 18-year-old? That'd be so weird.
Exactly. Yeah, he
had to call his mom. And...
Yeah, I think he suspects that he's not 18. I don't think he knows how young he really is, but I think that, like, she's definitely proven herself to be the overprotective mother multiple times at this point in the movie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so I think that it's just the, like, look, I know you're concerned, but, like, you don't need to be.
Yeah.
just cute. Like, Russell does care about this, about, why did I forget William's name for a second? Russell definitely, like, seems to care about William a little bit more than, like, the antagonistic relationship you would expect between a band member and a journalist. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, you know, he's been the one that's definitely on the more friendly side of things, you know, versus Jeff. Mm-hmm. You know, Jeff was definitely the one that kind of started off on the bad foot, calling him the enemy. But the others all did seem to kind of, yeah, you are the enemy, you know, way back on the ramp.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's to me, I kind of want to make it, call it, he's turning into the camp counselor.
Yeah.
Role.
Yes. You know? Yes. Absolutely.
Okay, your kid did get a little injured. It's not warranted to the hospital, thankfully.
Yeah.
You know, we just got to put a band-aid on it.
It's gonna be okay.
It's not that. It's not a stitches thing.
Mm-hmm. But I know you're worried, but we're all right here.
You're gonna get him back.
Yeah.
And she goes, hey, you know, I mean, this really gets his attention. But mm-hmm. but he actually does finish his little line of, you know, you should come to the show sometime. And she gets this hey in and it's join the circus. It's almost like there should be a should in there. But
yeah,
we somehow kind of miss it, or it gets overwritten with the hey, but should join the circus.
Mm-hmm. Join the circus. What an interesting way for him to, like, phrase that also.
Yeah, after what he's just been doing.
Exactly, he's been trying to, like, get rid of her fears, and now is again, join the circus. Can't help it. But yeah, this is where she sort of retorts and is like, your charm doesn't work on me. I'm on to you. Oh, of course you like him. I mean, she's also sort of doing this, like, she's also aware that her son is a good and, like, friendly kid, and is like, of course you're gonna think he's a good kid, because he is a good kid, but that doesn't mean that, like, I trust what you're doing, right?
Right, yeah. So my big note there was the, of course you like him, mm-hmm. is Jerry's mother on Seinfeld.
Aw.
How can anyone not like you? You know? He's like, someone... I'm sure there's someone that doesn't like me. Oh, you shouldn't say that. How can I not like you? You're a good boy.
It's precious.
Yeah.
Do you think she's overstating it when she suggests that he worships them?
Ooh. Yeah, I feel like worship is a tad much.
Yeah, I don't think she really understands what the relationship is.
Yeah. Yeah, he definitely, he's got this, you know, journalism bug, really.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very similar to how Lester kind of taught him the, you know, he wants to be honest and then what Russell even said too, you know, the whole, real segment that leads into the troubles.
Yeah.
You know, he wants to find something real, and doing so, I think, you know, gives William some of his best material that he does, you know, well, spoiler here, he does end up using.
Yeah.
But, you know, after a little back and forth kind of trying to not use it. Of it being knocked down by the band, and thinking it's not going to be used. So then, like I said, she throws in this rich idea, and he really doesn't like that.
I don't think so.
And so he starts to say, "We sit."
Aw.
I don't know what we. Could it be as simple of a word as sit and then something else, like we sit, you know, on ragged couches?
Yeah, I have no idea.
Or we sit in a bus and we're not in a plane yet.
Yeah, exactly. I have no idea.
And then it's this real tennis like back and forth lobbying, or, you know, not lobbying this way, but returning back and forth these things, you know, because she goes right back. She grabs his attention, you know, listen to me, and she goes into the smart, good-hearted 15-year-old kid, as I mentioned before, 15-year-old.
There's a very good, after she says it, we cut back to like over his shoulder as he turns to look at William when he finds out how old he is.
That could easily be just him getting freaked out, which actually is I'm pretty sure that's the verbiage in 2 minutes from now.
Yeah.
It's not even next minute. Although there's a little something next minute. I'll definitely bring up to you, Gary.
I doubt that.
So keep that in mind.
All right.
But yeah, and you know, and she continues, says, with infinite potential.
Aw.
And then she wants to talk about herself. You know, she's going to lay it on the line for who he's speaking to. This is not some apron wearing mother you're speaking to.
Mm-hmm.
And that certainly was a big thing, because she's this seemingly, I think, college professor.
Mm. Yes, yes.
Yeah.
She's not going to get wooed by some band.
Yeah, and it seemed like of that age, there were a few kind of more, you know, pre-hippy-dippy parents out there for kids this age that were her age, that were you know, a little more bohemian, I think was the old term thrown around. But, you know, and it's California, too. And it's actually pretty close to where you are.
It is very, do you want to know how close it is to me?
Yeah.
The creative writing program that I was in at my local community college is named for Lester Bangs.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Because he went to school there for a period of time.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Which is
wild. Yeah, he definitely has, those some partial roots, I think, there. There's also Detroit, too. But,
which I was taking creative writing classes at Grossmont at the time, and I saw this movie, and I was like, wait, I know that name. Which is just a fun little kind of tie back to it. That's cool.
The only biggest thing I want to talk about is, and it's continued on since previous guest or two, even, it might have started it then. Was it just last minute? The music playing a little bit lightly in the background, especially when it's a little light, when it's Russell or whoever's on the phone focused. But then, I mean, I don't think you can hear it at all coming through the phone, because it's light enough in the background for this pre-party, as I said, that's going on. So it's the musician is David Bowie, but it's a cover of Velvet Underground. One of their songs that just turned me on, because it was the very first track off the best of compilation. I think a studio mate in college he had, and then I just had to go out and get it, because the whole best of is just wonderful. Waiting for the Man is the song.
Okay.
And it's a very drug song.
Yeah, totally.
Not so much for as far as how you feel. At least when on drugs, is how you feel before you get your drugs from the man. And it's so funny. Some people actually I'll hear them say it, or I'll see it typed out or something in a YouTube comment or whatever, and they'll say "Waiting for My Man" as the title for song. Actually, that is the line in the song, but for whatever reason, he chose to make it a little more plain by saying "the man" for the title.
Interesting.
Even though it's not said that way in the song. Song that way.
That's fun. I did not know that Bowie covered that.
Yeah, and I don't think, probably before I saw this song or saw this movie, I don't think I'd ever heard it before that. And, it probably was even like 5 or so years until I got the soundtrack, or at least I think I borrowed the soundtrack first a couple years after seeing the movie, from the library and so forth. But it's like, well, actually, wait, is it on? I think it's on the soundtrack. I could have come across it back in the old earlier days of, you know, just internet searching and finding out more about stuff like that.
Amazing.
I used to do. But yeah, it's a really great song. Both versions. I'd have this is probably one of the covers. I'd have the hardest time deciding.
which one you like better. Interesting.
They're both really good. So good.
That's cool. I'll have to go look them up. Yeah. So I think I've heard the Velvet Underground song before. It sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's fun.
But nonetheless, so yeah, we've covered, like I said, the music was like that last thing I remembered. Oh yeah, I need to talk about that. Anything else that you have, Gary?
Nothing in particular for the minute, no.
Yep. Okay, well, we need to go into our ranking of the four bands that I'm keeping track of this too. I have it on a little spreadsheet too, you know.
Oh, wow.
Of everyone's all official thoughts on this. So okay, we'll end up having at the end of the show, you know, our decision is to
this is the ranking.
It's just personal. It's just a subjective thing, but
sure.
The four bands that are considered to most commonly believed to make up the band Stillwater. So what did you have a couple guesses for?
I do not have any guesses.
So I'll just tell you here alphabetically too, not to show any bias or anything.
Okay.
Allman Brothers Band, Eagles, Led Zeppelin, and Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Wow. Okay.
And are you going to do a favorite to least or vice versa?
Let's go favorite to least.
Yeah.
I'm probably going to put Zeppelin at the top.
Yeah.
And then, I might just do it in the reverse order you gave it to me. I think I'd put Lynyrd Skynyrd after that.
Yeah.
And then it was Allman Brothers, and then what was the other one? I missed
Eagles.
I'd probably put Eagles. Actually, maybe I'd put Eagles before Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go Zeppelin, Eagles, Lynyrd Skynyrd, Allman Brothers for my ranking, just because I know the least about the last one.
Yeah, and that's definitely what some people have had to say, that he's like, I just don't know any songs by them.
I feel like if I look them up, I'd probably know a few, but off the top of my head, there's nothing that's like, oh my god, this band.
Well, and Eagles are the only band that's not in, you don't hear it all throughout this whole movie. But Allman, you hear once, Lynyrd Skynyrd, you hear once, and then Led Zeppelin, there's like the good four times.
Nice.
And that's definitely the winner. I will be shocked if somehow we get a few more people that somehow rank Led Zeppelin last, which I don't even know if anyone has actually ranked them last yet. But
interesting.
Usually first.
Yeah.
Usually at the top.
I like them a lot. Cool, that was easier than I thought it was going to be. I was very worried you were going to name bands that I had never heard before. And
the fifth one that's most common, and that's pretty much the reason I think I kind of had in mind to throw it out, because I don't even actually own a song by them, is Poco.
I don't think I've ever heard of them.
I'd heard of, but
maybe. I'd have to look.
Yeah. I couldn't name a song.
No.
I can't even tell you. I think if you want to do some plugs, you let us know some social medias where we can find you too. What your other shows you've done?
People can find me at The Gary Roby. It's Roby for my last name on Twitter. I am currently host. I mean, you can find all the stuff that I did, all the Movies by Minute stuff I did, is at duelinggenre.com.
Yeah.
We did two seasons of Harry Potter Minute. We did a season of We did the movie Ferris Bueller's Day Off. I love that movie so much. And then on the Dueling Genre Patreon, for only $1, I'm currently covering Scott Pilgrim versus the World. And then I have two other shows that I'm doing right now. I'm doing a podcast for my bookstore called A Galaxy Not So Far Away. And then I just started a Blaseball podcast. I don't know that anyone's going to know what Blaseball is, but that's called Infinite Cities Blaseball. It's a fantasy baseball simulator. It's like fantasy baseball teams, like not based on real teams. They're like their own teams with randomly generated names, but like shenanigans happen. The end of the last championship, there was like an RPG battle with a god. There's like weird evolutionary things that happen over the course of this game that you can vote to like increase.
So, you're talking about real fantasy.
It's like real fantasy. It's not. The first season was basically like strict fantasy baseball. Like here's just teams. Yeah. We're just gonna roll their games, and then like it just got progressively weirder as it's gone on. And it's on break right now. So there's like a bunch of, we've been recapping early seasons of like, here's what's happened up to this point, so that when the game starts again, we'll be able to talk about like what our reactions are each season to like, as things are happening every week in the game. Mm-hmm. Which has been a fun ride. It's very strange. Mm. But yeah, people can go find that. That's at Cities Pod on Twitter.
Okay, great. Yeah, that's a crazy idea, I think, you know.
Yeah, it started up. Take that. It's just like a little web browser game that has blown up because of a lot of the weirdness that has come into the lore, but it's all like fan-driven lore and stuff. The community on Discord is huge.
Okay.
And so there's like fan art and stories and all of that. There's just people extrapolating off of like what the simulator does. It's a blast. Yeah, very weird stuff going on at baseball.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much for being on this minute. You think you can make it for another?
Yeah, I can be here.
73?
I'm down for that. That sounds good to me. Yeah,
thank you.
Totally. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So this was minute 72. We should be back next week for minute 73. Again, like I said, with Gary. And until then, it's all happening.
It's all happening.
I am a golden god! Yeah!
Yeah! And I was born in the backseat of a Greyhound bus, rolling down Highway 41.
You know the Queen of Hearts is always your best bet.